great. The last time we talked, you had gone over to another of the Northrop
Plant 3.
Plants. Mm-hmm. Right. And you had mentioned that the man that you'd been working for, who had sort of initially resisted you being there, had sent you over, you and another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Went over there. Now, she didn't...
She only stayed 2 weeks. Uh-huh. Her husband was home from Merchant Marine, so she wanted to be laid off. Mm-hmm. She didn't need to work. Mm-hmm. And I needed to work, so I was pleased to stay. And since we had gone all through school, mm-hmm. in the machine shop school, and worked together in the jig shop, she stayed on with me until I got acquainted, and it was nice. It's a friendly thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then she left in 2 weeks then, and by that time I was... starting to be put on the machine, given a little bit of work to do, because he'd had me sorting nuts and bolts and sweeping the floor and fetching stuff, you know, just insulting jobs, more or less, trying to make me mad enough to quit is what he was trying to do. Because
uh-huh.
he had a lot of bawling women, as he'd say, if they'd raise their voice to him or criticize him. Women's natural defense is crying. It used to be the only... solution to getting an unbearable situation solved was to get somebody off your back, was just to tune up and cry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't the crying type.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time somebody can make me cry is when they're extra good to me, and then I'm all over the place. But he turned out to be a fairly nice fellow. About a month after I was there, he was broken back from foreman to assistant foreman. So he got his lumps, too. Everybody was pushed back. And to this day, we're still friends. He comes by, and he's retired, but he comes by and visits. And he has a farm up in Central California, and he brings us fruit, dried fruit and nuts at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, you know.
So did you, how long did you stay at that plant?
I stayed there for, I think, about 2 years, mm-hmm. almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 45, and then 47, I started to going with my husband,
mm-hmm.
now. I had a boyfriend then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, they had started him on the climb of lead man. And... the policy is a clerk cannot go with anyone in supervision in the department,
mm-hmm.
because in the office you hear everything that goes on, and I found out the hard way it really creates dissension when you won't tell your boyfriend or husband everything they want to know that's going on, and you can't. There's just things, it's confidential, you just can't talk about, even from one boss to another.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear something, you just don't repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So... they moved me down back to Plant 1 then. And I was clerking for Ray Rohn. Excuse me, he was the foreman for the Boeing flap area. And that's the time I was cleared for secret information. Clerks were sworn in, as so to speak, if you won't repeat anything. But as far as the government is concerned, you have to have clearance,
mm-hmm.
and they check your background and everything for that, because you go in and out of departments, and you see prints, and, well, you're just familiar with all that's going on.
Mm-hmm. So this was after, I think you mentioned the last time that you reached a point where they needed a person to do the clerk
mm-hmm.
work, and you
mm-hmm.
had not had the training that
mm-hmm.
they...
Taught me into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
it was an offer to save my job. They knew both bosses were Masons, but I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
They give you opportunities
mm-hmm.
if you're a Mason's daughter or son or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
They give you an opportunity to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't given any special. I had to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
They just gave me an opportunity to try.
Yeah.
And I stayed on. I never did learn to legally type. I hunt and pick with two fingers, but I got the work done.
Did your pay go down?
No.
So it stayed the same?
They promised me if I would take it, they wouldn't lower my pay. Mm-hmm. And they made the superintendent made a special battle with wage and salary that it wouldn't go down, mm-hmm. because at that time I was making Class A clerk wages, mm-hmm. and I definitely wasn't a Class A clerk. You know, you don't walk right in and know how to do something. Mm-hmm. But they said I worked hard enough at it. Within 6 months, I was doing all the work that any clerk was doing, so I was entitled to it, mm-hmm. which was $1.11 an hour. Should have been $1.01, mm-hmm. so I gained 10 cents. Mm-hmm.
And that was the same as you'd been making mm-hmm. on
yeah.
the machine?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying then in 47 was when you started dating
mm-hmm.
your
Tom Pollyer.
Mm-hmm. And to be
mm-hmm.
and was it at that point, was there was the thing of being clear for the security stuff and all that, was that happening separate of your needing to change departments?
No. When I went down to Crenshaw, from Crenshaw down to Plant 1 is where the secret department was. I don't even remember the name of the department now, but they were doing confidential secret work.
Uh-huh. Now, Tom was at the...
Plant 3.
Plant
mm-hmm.
3 still.
Yeah.
So was the reason basically for you making the switch from plant to plant because you were...
Going with him, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you're saying that you were clear for that...
And when I went to work for Ray Rohn, I worked for him for about 6 months, and then I went to Department 3, and that's when I was cleared in 3.
Uh-huh.
That was called the sheet metal department.
Mm-hmm.
But in clerking, your records are all pretty much the same, mm-hmm. except in the machine shop, you have a different timekeeping system. You kept hours on machine work. In the machine shop that you didn't have, you just kept records on personnel
mm-hmm.
in Plant 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Plant 1, Department 3. I get them all mixed up.
It's a lot of numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, machine shop was Department 1 in Plant 3. And I came to Plant 1 in Department 3. A little bit confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were saying the nature of your work, though, was basically...
Personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you, how did you feel? I mean, I imagine that working in the clerking job, then did your clothing change for work?
The only change, we still had to wear slacks and flat shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that changed was I would wear more feminine rather than a cotton shirt. In those days, it was the type of clothing was the fancy batiste blouses with all the lace and little frilly doodads on them, and
mm-hmm.
I'd wear a camisole, you know, embroidered camisole underneath those, and no hat was the only change.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they did have, even the clerical people wore slacks.
Mm-hmm. Well, the main reason is if you wear a dress, you tend to wear high heel shoes. Well, when you're down in around the equipment, you don't need to be in high heels, and you run up and down steps. And a few clerks wanted to wear dresses. They were tired of pants.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the freedom of pants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could run around. You didn't have to worry about grabbing your skirts if you run upstairs, you know, and all of that sort of thing. There was just much more freedom. Plus, it was cheaper.
Uh-huh.
Gads, it was cheaper. Stockings in those days were horrendous. They're more than they are today, and the salaries are a lot different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The clerical work that you were doing, you were mm-hmm. still pretty much involved and in contact a lot with production people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there any point at which you kind of were separated? Was there any kind of like separation between clerical and production people?
No. We used the same restrooms. We ate at the same cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And, in those days, the clerks were the connection between supervision and the people on a personal level. I know in Department 3 became more evident because that was the lowest paid department in the plant. I know I made more there than half of my people that had families, and I don't know how they made it. But some of them couldn't read and write, but they were good workers. And we had, first 2 years I worked for Bart Maloney in Department 3, we had 7 major layoffs. And I would transfer in, out, and terminate as many as 100 people in one day. And in those days, we took them from typing up the termination papers to picking up their tools and taking them to the tool crib to clear out and clear on out to the gate to say goodbye. We took them the whole route. Now clerks type up termination papers, and that's all. But the clerks were, if there was a problem or a grumbly, every once in a while a flap will go through a factory in particular. One person will say, oh, well, he's getting more money than I am, you know, and why I'm doing more work. Uh-huh. Well, when a grumbly situation like that would go through, uh-huh, Bart would say, hey, kid, why don't you go down and find out what's going on? So I would start out, say, 6 people from the one that was growling, uh-huh, you know, and I'd stop down and I'd say, hey, how's family? You know, and just start talking and work my way around through and finally get to the guy, and he wouldn't want to talk about his family. He'd, you know, start, or a woman, either one. Mm-hmm. We had file and burr and punch press, and what else do we have in that department? I think we had some on drill press. I'd say we had 12, 14 women in that department of 100 and some odd people, mm-hmm, the 200. And then I would evaluate what the man had to say and try to talk him, you know, well, how do you know? He may be just trying to egg you on. How do you know? Well, I knew what both men were making, and I knew why they were making because I filled them out, mm-hmm, their reviews. Mm-hmm. But I never told anybody anything, mm-hmm, and I didn't come back and tell my boss. I would evaluate it, mm-hmm, and it was left to my discretion of whether I would tell the boss he had a real problem or it's just some guy's just been bragging about what he's making, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And Bart, bosses tend to talk over things with their secretaries if they like them. And I had come from the machine, so I was more accepted than a lot of the girls, you know. Mm-hmm. And plus I was a chatterbox. I love people, mm-hmm, you know. And I would just cruise through the department and talk to people. I liked all of my people. They were just genuine, good people. Mm-hmm. And they never felt, well, the pet expression of office people were, oh, there goes Miss Efficiency. I never got the rating of Miss Efficiency, which I was very pleased because I never felt that I was any better than any of the rest of them. And I cried right along with Bart when we started laying off our women. The only time I ever broke what I was supposed to do, and that was a shady area, was we could not tell people they were being laid off ahead of time. Sometimes I wouldn't know as much as a week before that they were going to be laid off. Mm-hmm. And I would go down and get them one by one at 11 o'clock at night and bring them up. Mm-hmm. And these poor old ladies that were in their 60s, had to work, they had no other income, they just died by degrees. And they'd get so they'd turn their back, oh, you're not going to talk to me, and tears would roll down their eyes, and I just couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. So one time, after one layoff, it still hurts, one time after, is it going?
Do you want me to?
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. Okay. I'm ready now.
Okay, we're back on.
And these ladies, after a layoff would be over, you know, well, I'd go back through the department smiling. Mm-hmm. But when I'd go down to get them, I was, you know, real sad as they were. And so the lady says, well, I don't know how many of these we can stand. And I just looked at them and I said, did you ever see me smile at anybody that was getting laid off? So until it come their turn, which was a couple of years later, I'd just go by and I'd smile at them, as hard as it was. But at least they knew, and they weren't going to get it, and they could relax, you know, because a layoff would last sometimes 2 days. Mm-hmm. And the least complainers on the layoffs were the women with children that had to work. Mm-hmm. Well, they was looking for a job when they came there, and they'd find another one. They had to support their children. I asked many of them. And the least qualified men were the ones that did the most bitching. Mm-hmm. You know, complain, and it's unfair, and you know, all of the untrue statements people make. Mm-hmm. You take, they were laid off seniority classification is the way they were. They give you a certain percent they had to cut down. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd go by seniority, mm-hmm. and that was all. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you lost a lot of your best people. The older people weren't necessarily the better people. Because during the war, you kept people because it's all you could get. Well, they built up security, seniority, and they kept them. But finally, it came down to where we had to lay off 4 of the older women. And Bart sat there and cried right along with me and them as they were being laid off. Mm-hmm. But at that time, it was still to 65 for Social Security, and they hadn't worked that long. So I've often wondered what happened to them. They'd raise big families, and it was sad, but there was just nothing in the plant for them. We got down to 2,500 people from 8,000. Mm. And
what years were these layoffs?
I went to BART in early 48, I think. 49 and 50 were the worst layoffs.
Mm-hmm. So this is before Korea, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah. Well, and then Korea built up again. Then we started building. Mm-hmm. Korea was, what, 50, 51, 52? Mm-hmm. I know, I thought Tom might be called, mm-hmm. but he wasn't, being a flyer. Mm-hmm. And, well, we were married in 1949, mm-hmm. In April.
Mm-hmm. Now, to go back just a little, and mm-hmm. in the work that you were doing there, was that, you'd mentioned in Aloha, were you working a day shift or a swing shift?
Swing shift. I always work swing shift.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And where were you living at this time?
I lived up on 42nd and Van Buren Place in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. So that it was the same place uh-huh. pretty much throughout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until 51, July 51, we moved into our home that we built in Playa del Rey.
Mm-hmm. Now, how had you met your
niece?
You said it was.
I hired him in. Yeah, I was a clerk, and I hired him in. Well, we say hired him in. We'd go out and bring them in and introduce them to the boss and start them to work. So that's why we always use the expression of hired him in, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. in Crenshaw.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How long was it after that that you started seeing each other?
Mm-hmm, about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Then 2 years later, we were married. Mm-hmm. We went together for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So did he just let you know that right off the bat? Or did he?
Well, he was married when he came in. Mm-hmm. And he and his, I won't go into his business, but his wife took their 2 children and went back to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, she left in January, and in December, he filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So then, when his divorce was final, we got married.
So he had, you had known him then for about, you're saying, a year and a half?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you continued to see each other after you moved to the
other plant, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, we dated for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the idea of getting married again?
I wasn't really that eager to get married.
Mm-hmm.
He was more eager than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother instinct got in my way there. His family were not that nice a family,
mm-hmm.
to him or to anybody else. They just weren't nice people. So a lot of it was I felt sorry for him.
Mm-hmm.
I had health problems, and I didn't want to ever get married. I'd rather stay on my own. I'd not had, I don't know, in those days divorce was a black mark against you.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt that I failed. A lot of marriages, they did. But health reasons is why I got a divorce. So I never felt, I felt I was cheated, but I never felt that I'd failed. But I don't know. I didn't think I'd ever have children, so I didn't want to get married. I just wanted to play.
So, what kind of things you were saying that you sort of had a mother instinct?
Yeah, women are born with mother instincts. Truthfully, that's all, the only reason we can tolerate men is we have mother instincts, is the way I feel about it.
Did,
because men really marry for a mother. They want your their wife to be their mother
mm-hmm.
when it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the psychology of it, as far as I'm concerned. But you do have to be a mother and a wife and a friend and a companion, a playmate, and all of those things. But your life can't be your own. Even after we got married, his ego didn't want me working.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to quit.
Did you keep working?
I worked for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, to me, we couldn't have had a home. He didn't have a pot,
mm-hmm.
let alone anything. All he had was his service clothes on his back. Well, I had a 41 Pontiac. It was paid for, and I had some furniture and a little bank account. So I'm the nester and I'm the builder. We went out and looked for houses, and everything that was built during the war or before the war were little cracker boxes that weren't worth $2,000 that they were built to sell for. They were then up to $11,000 to $16,000. So by that time they were needing new plumbing, or they were flooded in the basements, or they were on slabs, and really they wouldn't have held together until they were paid for. So we went the route of building. We went out there and started looking for lots, and we found a lot in Playa del Rey because the doctor had told Han he'd had pneumonia. We married in April, the next March he got pneumonia, and the doctor said his lungs were ready for TB. So we were to either move to the ocean, right on the ocean, or to Phoenix, the desert. Well, I didn't want to go to Phoenix, so we moved to Playa del Rey. And we hired a contractor and built our home for, well, it cost us $13,500
mm-hmm.
to build. Yeah, custom two-bedroom home. And we got the size rooms and everything that we wanted. And we only built a two-bedroom house because I wasn't supposed to ever have any children. Well, lo and behold, 6 years later, along came John.
Mm-hmm. Now, so when you were first married, now you'd been on your own for
mm-hmm.
a while.
5, 6 years. Mm-hmm.
Did that mean a lot of adjustment for you in terms of having someone else to...
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of adjustments. My husband was very demanding. He wanted all of my time. And you just, after living, well, I was, I lose track of how old I was. But by the time I was married, I was 30, thereabouts. And by the time you've lived your life that far, you're quite set in your ways. And I had been alone and done as I darn well pleased an awful long time. And I never was a constant companion type person. I'm a solo. I like my time by myself. And we worked the same shifts until, I guess it was a year after we were married that they started rotating him when he made assistant foreman. They rotated every 3 months, first shift, second shift, third shift, first shift, second, third, and round.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was quite all right with me because we were building a house and I was busy landscaping and all of that sort of thing. And by working, we got the down payment on the house and all of the furniture and everything paid for, to where it was paid down far enough that if anything happened to him, I could still carry it, because girls' wages back then were nothing compared to what they are today. And a lot of them today aren't the same. But my chances of making over $2 an hour was minute, to even ever think about making over that. And when I left in 52, left the plant, I was making 189. And that, well, I made 149 for God only knows. 4 years, I think, I'd made that money. And it was at the top of the classification. Well, they made a big boost because clerks are overhead. And anything that is, doesn't bring in the dollar, they think twice before they give you a raise. So we got all of that paid down, and then I quit. And then Northrop took another slump. God. The next 2 years, we really had it rough because Tom got cut of $50 a week twice in 2 years. Well, of course, he'd made it back up, but it was an adjustment at the time. And costs were going up. But we found out in, I forgot what year it was, he stayed in the reserve, Air Force Reserve, and they lost his records, thank God, because he was the type of flyer with aircraft background that they were just searching the United States for to throw him into Korea. Mm-hmm. Well, thank God they didn't get him. So he got out of the reserve then and just stayed on in aircraft.
So, but during that period, even, well, is this like the, as the war in Korea was winding down, that mm-hmm. you were cutting back then?
Yeah.